John Broome set up Archetype with a fellow architect and a former Broccoli resident, Bob Hayes, who was another one of the founders of Broccoli Society. This was set up in 1984, the Archetype. They specialised in environmentally friendly buildings and self-build projects, having collaborated with Walter Siegel in Honor Oak. John has self-built his own homes, and he's the author of the self-build book. He lives and works in Lewisham and now runs his own architectural practice from home. And I believe that you were involved with the Hilly Fields Cafe.
Yes, indeed.
So, which is an iconic building which has changed our park, the centre of our park now. So, John, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Innovation and conservation. I mean, I'm going to emphasise the innovative end of this continuum, I think. Over the years, I've found working with old buildings really difficult, and so I tend to specialise in new ones these days. So what I was going to talk about was the idea of ensuring that we're creating something that's worth conserving, which Duncan alluded to as an important way forward. And by that, I think of usefulness, I think of places with a long, useful life, which are worthy of conservation, embodying human scale and positive rather than negative impacts on the environment. Sustainable neighbourhoods, indeed. And I suppose I'm going to talk a little bit about what that might look like. We don't know yet, I don't think, what the principles might be, the precedents abroad and in the UK, and briefly touching on an example of one such in Ladywell, which some of you may be aware of. So, arrows don't seem to be, oh yes, here we go. So looking at sustainability as an idea, social sustainability is important, and environmental obviously, but economic as well. So beginning here with the idea of people, the importance of people having a stake in their environment and where they live. And some of you will be familiar with this, Walter's Way, the original Lewisham self-build project, well the second one actually, which has been there 30 years now. Those buildings were all identical pretty much when they were built. You wouldn't think so now. They are interestingly subject to a belated and rather misguided, in my view, attempt to control what's happened there. They are locally listed, as we discovered by accident when we started trying to do an extension on one of them. But that aside, I do think that it's a necessity, in my view, for sustainable environments that people have a stake in them. And one of the original Lewisham self-builders commented to me, he said, you know, after having achieved this, having built a building, nobody will ever be able to tell me I can't do something. And the value of that, I think, is immense. It's immeasurable, really, in my view. Environmental sustainability, I mean, we know now how to make very low energy buildings which help the planet, but they're affordable to live in. Keep it simple. Prioritise insulation over fancy cladding and the kind of environmental bling. I think it's really aiming for something which one might think of as a modern vernacular. And using materials that are relevant and local and so on. And just thinking about the environment, the economic aspects of all this, I mean, people should know and be more aware of this. I mean, this is a while ago now, 15, 20 years ago, a £30,000 house. Now, you know, it's a three-bedroom house, two bathrooms, it's pretty low energy. The guy built it himself. he was a shoe salesman. It's important, I think, in the current circumstance. And it's not just about cost either. I mean, it's about ownership too, and how you occupy space, land. So, you know, outright ownership, perhaps shared ownership. We're looking at cooperative ownership where you pay rent and there's the residents collectively own. But it's a rather inward-looking idea, I think, a co-op. But the Community Land Trust, in the bottom right corner there, where the community also has a stake in the ownership, I think is a very fruitful way forward thinking about this. I think self-help has a massive ability to reduce costs. But at the same time, there are a lot of side benefits in terms of acquiring skills and confidence, as we've said. But when you start looking at developed economies, we're right down on the bottom right-hand corner there in terms of the amount of the housing market which has some significant self-help input into it, in contrast to Austria, Germany, Belgium, places like this, where probably more than half the housing market is of that sort. bottom right, I mean, this is a self-built city. It's about 3,000 homes in the Netherlands. The important thing, really, I think, is to do with making the frameworks within which you can encourage this kind of activity. Germany this time. This quarter of Freiburg was 2,000 homes. I mean, it's built by groups of people who've come together to design their own homes. Not self-built on the whole, but they've got control over the process, which is the really important thing. It's a car-free quarter. It's very low energy. It's green as you like, as you can see. And then also in Germany, Berlin, I mean, a high proportion now of new building in the city is generated by people coming together to design and work with the local authority to create really good places to live and affordable. And interestingly, the local authorities own significant amounts of land which they make available on a kind of set cost. The competition is of concept. It's who can provide the best social benefit. So it's not monetary, it's not a financial competition, it's a competition of ideas in order to get the permissions to build in this way. And also important, I think, is that they've got the institutional infrastructure to support it. The banks are, I mean, they regard self-help construction as a very low-risk lending option. They have enablers who deal with groups of people designing and building. The funders have a personal relationship with designers. The local authority have public meetings regularly every week where people come together and talk about and instigate these kinds of developments, all of which are on the whole missing here. And it makes getting this kind of stuff really difficult, getting this kind of thing off the ground. But it does happen. So back in the UK, I don't know if any of you are familiar with this development in Bristol, but they went it alone with the support of the local planning department, who were able to prevent a developer from developing this particular site through the planning system. So you've got large low-energy houses, you've got apartments converted from an existing office building, and bottom left are houses, bungalows, which were intended for older people on social rent. So they passed over a chunk of the land to a housing association to organise that. And interestingly, the housing association changed hands. The new owners thought this was a pretty risky sort of enterprise and said they wouldn't go ahead with it. And so the community group actually ended up having to buy back the site at an inflated value in order to generate affordable homes for people. And it's this kind of institutional absurdity which I think, you know, one's trying to get away from. And the co-housing movement, I think, is another aspect of this, where people are more or less in control of how things are designed and built. Currently, though, it does tend to imply people have got money, or they're downsizing, or access to land, or, you know, they're not really aimed for people on very low incomes. Which leads us back to Lewisham. One of the sons of one of the original self-builders had some idea that he's an impecunious musician, you know, that my dad built a house, why can't I? And he came to see me, and we sat around in the garden and tried to work out how you could turn that vision into something that people would put money into in this time, this day and age. And one thing led to another. And he set up a community land trust, which now has over 700 members. Some of you may be here. Get on the website and join. If not, cost a pound. And a series of workshops, the principles really were developed for this sustainable neighbourhood. So balancing the interests of residents, neighbours and the local authority. Properly affordable homes, clearly necessary. Under the control of the residents, as we've said. Importantly, reflecting the breadth of the local population in terms of income, age, and so on. Very low energy buildings with low running costs to help with affordability, which energy costs are a significant proportion of housing costs these days. The local authority, Lewisham, were very keen on providing training opportunities generally to enhance people's employability. And I suppose underpinning it all, the notion that it was a self-built project and that this would have the ability to significantly reduce cost and make the dwellings affordable, therefore. So this diagram kind of summarises that, with affordability as a key feature in the centre, community-led development with a mix of residents, a moderate density in order to get the scheme to work, self-financing as far as possible, so free of grant with all the strings that go with it, and energy efficient and with community benefits. And that's the sort of broad principle behind it. The diagram shows on the vertical axis the income required to inhabit one of the dwellings on the scheme. And so 32,000 is the Lewisham median income per annum, or thereabouts, which is the first dotted line across there, below which there are houses for social rent. And as you go up, the sizes of the dwellings increase from 1, 2, 3, and 4 bedrooms. And the tenure pattern changes from social rent to properly affordable rents through shared ownership, starting at about 25% and rising to 80%. And a 20% held back by the Community Land Trust to prevent the dwellings becoming not affordable. So it's ensuring that it's affordable into the future. The green areas are the kind of cost reductions that are possible through building all or part of the place yourself. It's not a requirement, it's an option, and some people are choosing not to. So we've got people downsizing who say, fine, you know, get the builder to build it. I'm a bit beyond that, I'm too old. and this is just leading into the proposals on the former Watergate school site in Churchgrave in Ladywell, very tucked away, very difficult site, adjacent to the St Mary's conservation area. So the Victorian cottage is there, looking down the street on the left as it is, and on the right, it's the view through, which cunningly you can't really see. But it is a four-storey development of flats and maisonettes. And you can see bottom left the kind of design at the end of the street with galleries and planting. So it's, and that's the plan of it. The River Ravensbourne looks bright blue there, but it's actually a, how would you describe it there? It's a surface water drain, really. Top right, some ideas of precedent. So the idea is that there is a lot of greenery, and that one of the aims of the project is to provide opportunities for growing food within the city. So we've got 33 flats and houses, I said, mix of tenure. There's community provision available for the residents, but also for others, a guest room, and some views there, which you probably will have difficulty reading from what from what I can see from here. But that is due to go in for planning shortly, in a week or two, with a view to building out next year as a potential model which could be recreated elsewhere. So RUS, the Rural Urban Synthesis Society, a bit of a mouthful, plan to roll this out as a model elsewhere in Lewisham and in London as a whole. Thank you very much.